JM in the AM Thursday morning broadcast. Rabbi Reuven Tarragon is the Dean of Overseas Students at Yeshivat HaKotel. He is Educational Director of World Mizrahi and the Religious Zionists of America. He is an amazing educator, and for us, most importantly, he's an incredible friend of our family and this great radio broadcast. Rabbi Tarragon has a brand new book from Mosaica Press that we are highly recommending. In fact, it's the perfect day of the year to recommend it because it is based a lot on Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers, which many of you know if you follow our Jewish calendar, and by that I mean the luachs, the calendars that emphasize what is to be said and when it is to be said. If you follow the luachs, the calendars carefully, we start saying Pirkei Avot this Shabbat, the first Shabbat after the holiday of Pesach. So this could not come at a better time. The book is called Essentials of Judaism, a Hashkafic Primer. Rabbi Reuven Tarragon, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Nachum, it's wonderful to be here with you, and it's an honor to be part of the show. You mentioned how all the way we're in New York, your focus is on what's happening here in Israel, and you do a wonderful service to the community by helping people get focused every morning and be strong every morning for the day ahead.
I appreciate that very much, and I also appreciate the fact that as you and anybody who's in Israel is going through this very sensitive time period, you are very sensitive to what we're going through here in this country. It is heartwarming to hear people in Israel concerned about our safety with the way that things are blowing up, sometimes literally, but mostly figuratively, on the college campuses and beyond. And as we continue to endure all of this, all we can do is care about each other from thousands of miles away. Rabbi Tarragon, why did you write Essentials of Judaism?
Well, you know, it's an excellent question. Nachum, Baruch Hashem, there's wonderful svarim out there, but not that many of them are written about hashkafa, and very few approach the topic of hashkafa in an organized way. It gives people an overview of hashkafic topics. Just to take a step back and explain what the word hashkafa means, as opposed to philosophy that analyzes the nature of the world and the world above, metaphysics. Hashkafa means our outlook on life, how we see our existence, how we see our purpose and our mission. And that obviously is a very important topic. It's discussed by Chazal in many places, but not really collected in an organized way. The goal of this Sefer and this series, Mir Hashem, is to help present these ideas in a clear, brief way to people so we can get this basic area of our existence clear. What are we here for? What are we meant to be accomplishing? You know, you mentioned the challenges we have right now in Klal Yisrael. I'll just mention regarding that, that God arranged it this time that we're all suffering together. Doesn't matter if you're in Israel, you're in America, all the Jews can feel the challenges. And when we go through challenging times, we need to have even more clarity about what we're doing here and what our mission is. The more we have that clarity, the easier it is to handle the challenges we face and to know the direction we should go in. And that's what this book is about, and at this season, Pirkei Avot, to help us gain clarity about why the world exists, why we exist, what our mission is, and how we accomplish it.
So much of the first part of your book is about appreciation, about gratitude. Why is it that appreciation and gratitude, especially toward the one above, is such an important value to have if one is going to advance hashkafically in their Judaism?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Nachum. Hakarat Hatov, which is the Hebrew phrase we use to describe this gratitude, is something we find in every parsha of the Torah without exception. We find it in the first one. Adam HaRishon is criticized for not appreciating the gift of his wife, and instead of appreciating, he blamed her and God for giving her to him for the sin. Chazal focus on that moment of lack of appreciation. And the reason appreciation is so important is because if we don't realize and appreciate the fact that God created us, well, we're missing the whole essence of what our life is meant to be about. It begins with appreciating the fact that we're created. And I'll share a story with you, Nachum. Many years ago, I was flying to Chicago for Shabbat, and there was a snowstorm, and the plane landed in Charlotte. And I'm wondering, what does God want me in Charlotte for? So as I was waiting in line for the next flight, a southerner approached me with a very thick southern accent. He said, Rabbi, so I don't have time for a sermon. tell me in two sentences what it means to be Jewish. You know, you get a question like that. So I said to him, there's two ways to look at how we got into this world. One is a man and a woman decided to have a baby or didn't decide to have a baby, and here we are. The other is that God decided to give two people a baby. And the difference is that if we got here the first way, there's no reason to believe we mean anything more than an amoeba. They also reproduce. If we got here the second way, it means we're here for a reason. God chose to put us here. And Judaism is about appreciating what that reason is and trying to live up to it and accomplish it. But that word appreciation is where it all begins. If we say Morda Ani in the morning and we remind ourselves that we've been recreated, we understand we're here for a reason and we seek to accomplish it. If we miss that point, we think life is random. We think our existence is random. So the beginning of Hashkafa is actually the appreciation of the fact that God created us.
And if I'm not mistaken, you point that out with Eov, right? That Eov, who did have an appreciation, excuse me, in some areas of life, was lacking, excuse me, when it came to his own physical being. I'm not sure I'm remembering it correctly, but you could tell me if I am.
You're remembering exactly correctly, Nachum. And, you know, on the one hand, Eov is introduced to us as a tzaddik. Yireh Elokim, Sar Meirah. And he really withstands all the tests initially, so he's a great person. Yet, when he's attacked physically, he breaks. And the question is, how could such a great person still break? And I think that's exactly the point. He realized and appreciated that God gave him gifts, but he took himself for granted and saw that as something that was natural to him. So when that was taken away, he was angry with God. When we realize that, even our health is given to us as a gift, we appreciate that. Everything else is gravy. And so when we get up each morning, we appreciate that we're alive. You know, Yirmiyahu said it in a very interesting way. In Sefer Eicha, Yirmiyahu says, what should a living person complain about their existence? And the Medrash asks, why does Yirmiyahu say a living person? And the Medrash says, anyone who's alive, if you appreciate the fact that you're alive, that should be enough. Obviously, we seek more, but appreciate the gift of life, the gift of having been created itself. That gives us the right perspective.
Now, I can't resist. There are other parts of the book, obviously, I'd like to get to, but I can't resist telling you a story that I heard of a member of our community, a gentleman who was in the hospital, and he was having terrible breathing problems. And they said to him that there's a treatment, a machine that they could bring in to really assist in his breathing. I don't remember the exact circumstances, and obviously it wasn't one of the traditional methods of solving this problem, like with a regular respirator, etc. And they said to him, the problem is that the machine costs, you know, just to bring the machine into the hospital is going to cost $5,000. So the man started to cry. So the doctor said, are you upset because, you know, unfortunately you can't afford that type of expense? He goes, no, I'm crying because I'm imagining if every breath costs thousands and thousands of dollars, how much I owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much do I owe to the one above for every single breath, the millions that I've taken since I started to exist. And I felt it's a very touching story. And as we wake up in the morning, and we used to say very often on this show, if you wake up in the morning healthy, you've won the lottery. I think it's one of the most important things we could do, especially early in the morning, is recognize the fact, as so many of the Birchas HaShachar do, recognize the fact that he, the one above, has given us life. And we are in need of showing gratitude and appreciation for it.
Yeah, such an important point, Nahum. You know, it shouldn't have to take having breathing problems to appreciate the fact that we don't have breathing problems. And we should appreciate so that God doesn't have to make it difficult so that we do appreciate. And just to share something with your listeners about Moda Ani.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting to say Moda Ani twice in the morning. Of course, Moda Ani,
right,
which is, you know, starting the show. And then within the bracha of Elokai Neshama, we say it again.
Right.
Moda Ani, Kol Zman Shenashama Elokim. Why don't we say it twice? So the answer is because the first time we can't say Hashem's name.
Right.
The first Modani doesn't have Hashem's name. There's no bracha because we haven't washed our hands yet.
Right.
So then the question is, so why do we even say it the first time? Why not wait till we wash our hands? But that's exactly your point. We have to say it right away when we're first rebooting and realizing that we're being recreated. We have to take advantage of that moment and recognize and thank Hashem for the fact that we've won the lottery, as you said. Once we wash our hands, we say it as part of our bracha. We mention Hashem's name, and we reflect about the future. We commit ourselves to continue recognizing why we're here, as long as God will continue gifting us with life. So that moment in the morning is so important in setting the tone for our day and our direction.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan is with us from Jerusalem, Yeshiva HaKotel. Mizrahi, and of course, so many other distinctions and designations, including the author of the brand new book, Essentials of Judaism. So tell me about the connection to Pirkei Avot. Does it literally follow as each Mishnah is presented and as we read them in order? Do you use certain Mishnayot or Mishnot, as the late Rabbi Orlean would tell me to say? He always felt that was the proper plural for Mishnah. Does it use a certain number of Mishnot in the from Pirkei Avot, from Ethics of the Fathers, in order to reinforce some of the things you're discussing in this Hashkafic work? How does the relationship go between you and what the point you're trying to make and the brilliant Pirkei Avot?
That's an excellent question, Nachum. The book is not a commentary on Pirkei Avot. The book uses Pirkei Avot as the basis for each piece, because Pirkei Avot is an early and comprehensive repository of Hashkafic ideas. Of course, you have Hashkafic ideas in Tanakh, you have Hashkafic ideas in the Rishonim and in the Gemara, but if you're looking for one sefer, one mesechet that has Hashkafic ideas, that would be Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot is not all Hashkafa, but about a third of it is basic Hashkafa, and it's the most central collection. So that's why I use the Mishnayot in Pirkei Avot. Each piece begins with a Mishnah, but then uses the rest of Chazal and the Rishonim and etc. to elaborate beyond just the Mishnah. And the book is organized not by Mishnah, but by topic. So it starts with creation, which is the beginning of our lives, of course, and moves little by little into the purpose of the world, the purpose of our lives, personal development. So it's arranged by topic. There is a key that connects to each Mishnah, so if you want to learn each week the Mishnayot of that parak, you can, but it's really pieces by topic using the Mishnayot in Pirkei Avot. Just to give you a sense of the numbers, there are about 100 Mishnayot of Pirkei Avot that are addressed in the Sefer. It's about a third that are on Hashkafic topics. It includes all the Hashkafic topics of Avot. And a person who reads through the Sefer can really get a full understanding of the Hashkafa of Pirkei Avot, which is a large amount of our Hashkafa as people. And just to elaborate a little bit more on the pieces, they're each 4 to 5 pages long, not very long. So you can really sit down 5-10 minutes and read a piece and get it. There's a lot of footnotes that you can use if you want to research it further, but the goal is to be able to get in a bite size of basic Hashkafic idea that then you can consider throughout the day. There are 50 pieces in the book, parallel to the 50 days between Pesach and Shavuot. So a person during this period, even if you're starting a little later now, there's still time to be able to get a full sense of Hashkafa, which, as I mentioned, is basic to our Jewish Hashkafa.
Speaking of basic Jewish Hashkafa, the Mishnah teaches us, and you, of course, cited in the book, our obligation to understand and to appreciate all creations of the One Above, especially when it comes to human beings. Everyone's created in Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God, and we need to remember that. And very often, and I mean, this is no secret, very often in our community, we sometimes have trouble remembering that as much as we are, quote-unquote, the chosen people, everybody of every background, as long as they have Tzelem Elokim, as long as they are in fact created in the image of God, have a certain distinction that needs to be recognized. That can be very difficult, especially these days, Rabbi Tarrigan, when, you know, the enemy, so to speak, whether it be the enemy that our brothers and sisters are facing in Israel, whether it be the enemy that's taking to the streets of New York, Los Angeles, and other cities, when they behave in a certain way, and yet we have this obligation to remember that they are in fact created in the image of God, and on some type of basic level are deserving of, I don't want to use the word respect, but I'll say the word recognition. How do we reconcile that, especially during a sensitive time like this?
Your question, Nachum, is an excellent one, and it really puts us to the test. The phrase that Chazal, the Mishnayos in Avos, used was avas habrios, not just not to denigrate and to respect, but even to love all of Hashem's creations. If you look in the sixth parak of Avos, twice the Mishnayos juxtapose avas habrios to avas hamakom, because if you love Hashem, you're going to seek to love everything He created. And if you don't love what He created, what does it mean that you love Hashem? How else do you know Hashem? In fact, the Ramban famously tells us we get to Ahavat Hashem by loving His creatures. That's why it says, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, ani Hashem, the next week's parsha in Kedoshim. I created them, so you should love them. So in principle, you're absolutely right that we should look to love and to learn from every creation, even those that are, you know, dysfunctional right now. Rav Kook said it in a very powerful way. I don't know if the listeners are ready for this, but Rav Kook said, we have to love everything God created, every object, every phenomenon, every nation, even Amalek. Well, what does it mean to love Amalek? We're supposed to kill Amalek.
Right.
So the answer is that even though we're supposed to kill them, we're supposed to appreciate whatever good aspects there are within Amalek. And if you want, I can elaborate on what I think we can learn from Amalek.
Yes, please.
But I would say in our world, too. Okay. So I often point out that Amalek, Chazal compared to jumping into a hot bathtub. The Jewish people, no one was willing to touch them. They were very intimidated by the Jews. But Amalek wasn't afraid of the hot bathtub, and they jumped in. Now, obviously, the question is, why do Chazal compare the Jewish people to a hot bathtub? If you think of something you're afraid of, a hot bathtub would not be near the top of the list. I think the answer is very simple. Amalek attacked the Jewish people at the end of Parshat B'Shalach, right after the Jewish people stood at Yam Suf and were afraid to jump in the water. Amalek comes to teach us courage. Now, they use their courage for the wrong things, obviously, and they're dangerous, which is why we need to rid the world of them. But there is what to appreciate, love about them, and learn from them. And I'm sure all of us can think about what we can learn from, you know, these protesters and anti-Semites, who are obviously very dangerous and evil people, but there's what we can learn and should learn as far as commitment, as far as, you know, being willing to lay down oneself for one's values. So obviously there's evil in the world, and Amalek Lahavdil, as opposed to the protesters, Amalek we need to rid the world from, but we're meant to appreciate and love all of Hashem's creations. And that's a very delicate balance and a challenging thing, which you're right for pointing out, but that's exactly what's expected of us, no less.
Wow, amazing. Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan is with us, the final chapter of your book, and we are highly recommending it, folks, Essentials of Judaism, Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan. It's a Mosaica Press release. We'll tell you how to obtain it in just a moment. The final section of your book deals with character development, and I assume this is meant for all ages, not just those who are in the younger years and still have plenty of time to develop, in fact, their character. Well, you mentioned appreciation and gratitude. We spent a lot of time on that. What other elements, what other ingredients go into proper character development?
You know, Nachum, that's an excellent question. Getting back to your point, as long as we're alive in this world, it's because we're meant to be developing ourselves further, which is why when we find a dead body, a dead body could be 119 years old, but someone's responsible needs to take responsibility for that loss of potential. Because as long as God gives us life, we have the ability and therefore the responsibility to develop ourselves. And, you know, Mesilas Yesharim, most people would say it's a Musar Sefer. But if you look at the beginning of the Sefer, he talks about what our mission in life is. And, of course, ideally, one's personal development should be reflective of an understanding of what our mission in life is. And that's what Pirkei Avot is, a mixture of Mishnayot that deal with perspective and deal with personal development, because the latter should be based on the former. And the book has three parts. The first part is about creation and the implications of creation, which are huge. The second part is about our goal, purpose, and perspective on life. And the third part of the book are chapters about character development, which should be based on those first two sections of the book. So ideally, if we're really encompassing Pirkei Avot and Jewish Hashkafa, getting perspective on life and then translating that into how we live our own lives. And that, you know, can't be overstated, the importance of it. And that's how we prepare for Matan Torah. To Jewish people, Torah is more than just something we pursue intellectually. It's meant to guide us, Torah, for how to live our lives. We prepare for Matan Torah by reminding ourselves what our perspective should be about our existence and sharpening, perfecting, purifying our character so we're worthy of receiving the Torah that gives us guidance in life.
Phenomenal. Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan, there is a website, RabbiReuvenTarrigan.com, RabbiReuvenTarrigan.com. The book is available there. Rabbi Tarrigan, are there other methods of obtaining the book that you'd like to mention that your publisher would like acknowledged?
Well, there are community representatives in different cities in the United States and around the world who have books available personally if someone wants to pick them up. They're listed on the website. And, of course, you can order through the website as well or through the Mosaica site. And I look forward to receiving comments and feedback from people who read the Sefer and can help me improve it.
You even included your email address in the book so people can be in touch with you regarding feedback and comments.
100%.
RabbiReuvenTarrigan.com, RabbiReuvenTarrigan.com. check out the website. The book is available for purchase. It's called The Essentials of Judaism. You go to Mosaica website, Mosaica Press, and as Rabbi Tarrigan said, there are many cities, especially here in the New York, New Jersey area, but others as well around the globe, that have representatives in the area and, of course, have books available at their local Judaica stores. You can check it out and enjoy. And as we said, it's highly recommended by us all year round, but especially this time of year as people embark on the journey of Pirkei Avot, and you heard why this book, in fact, is such an important part of that journey. Essentials of Judaism, Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan. Rabbi Tarrigan, can I ask you a question a bit off topic? Do you mind?
Absolutely.
The other night, Gavri and I were discussing how he'll be returning to Yeshivat HaKotel, and it's going to be a very interesting period of time. Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaAtzmaut, Lag BaOmer, Yom Yerushalayim, the holiday of Shavuot. How different is this time of the year in terms of the educational process and trying to impress, and I mean by that, trying to give a positive impression to the young men that you're educating with all these special days, especially now in this time of war, all these special days that are part of the upcoming immediate calendar?
You know, I think it's similar to Pesach. Pesach is not supposed to be just commemorating an event of the past. It's supposed to be feeling like you experience it. When we've celebrated Yom HaTzmut and reflected on Yom HaZikaron over the past 75 years, for most of us in recent years, it's reflecting upon events that happened almost a century ago. It's not that way this year. All of us know people who lost their lives on behalf of the State of Israel. And all of us have a much greater appreciation of why the state is necessary and of what we need to do in order to defend it and strengthen it. We've gotten involved. It's not just 1948 where our great grandparents were involved. Most Jews around the world have been involved in defending and strengthening the State of Israel firsthand, or strengthening those who are strengthening it, or fighting the battles around the world against anti-Semites and anti-Israel protests. So this year, when we reflect on Yom HaZikaron, and when we celebrate on Yom HaTzmaut, and we should celebrate on Yom HaTzmaut, we should celebrate the fact that God gave us this gift and continues to sustain us here. We were attacked, we were hurt, but it could have been much worse. And God helps us in our efforts to defend ourselves, whether it's the soldiers, the politicians, or the air defenses on being attacked by Iran. So obviously we're going to feel the pain much more strongly, but we should also be celebrating in much more subdued but meaningful way. And when you talk about students, they're not coming just for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut. They've been here through the year, so they know very well what's been going on. And to show those in Yeshivat like HaKotel, where they have friends, Israelis, who are in the army and who left to go fight and who they saw throughout the year, they know personally what this is all about. So Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut, etc., are going to be much more meaningful for everyone and for the students from abroad this year. And hopefully we'll gain a better appreciation of all of this, so that we'll be more worthy of Hashem continuing to give this to us, and in Yirtz Hashem, moving the redemption process forward.
Yeah, it's a shame that it had to happen at this price, but there's no question that the past half a year, has helped to seriously bridge the gap between Israel and the diaspora, especially as you noted, through the youth in our community. And that's why I'll say to you and your colleagues, Kol HaKavod, and a big thank you. This could have gone in many different directions in terms of how students, especially those from the United States, reacted to what happened in Israel. And I think you've handled it brilliantly. And as a parent, I thank you for that. Rabbi Tarrigan, best of luck with the book. A pleasure speaking with you. And enjoy the Talmidim. They should all be back within the next few days. And continued success for Kayetzman, as we call it, at Yeshivat HaKotel.
Thank you very much, Nachum, and thank you very much for the warm words. And I want to thank you and the parent body, because we had the responsibility to do our part, but it was your faith and strength in allowing your children to stay and strengthening them here that helped make sure that this terrible experience could turn into somewhat of a positive reflection for all these kids this year.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And those students who took advantage of it, boy, Their lives are changed for the positive forever. A big thank you to Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan. Check out the website, RabbiReuvenTarrigan.com. The book is available there. It's available Mosaica Press. It's available in a lot of your Judaica stores around the world. And feel free to be in touch with Rabbi Tarrigan, as he invited you to. He is anxious to hear feedback and comments regarding the work. It's called Essentials of Judaism. Enjoy it, especially this time of year, as we emphasized, as we introduce Pirkei Avot again into our regular liturgy. This is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio, around the world, the web, at NahumSingle.com, on the NahumSingle Network, and, of course, on the beloved NSN app.